So, Sister Judy, part of the coordination of the Halifax Centre in Canada, Eastern Canada. I came to Bubba about 16 years ago, and at that time I was a mother of two little children and married, and also working as an organizational development consultant, so somebody who helps organizations who are in conflict internally amongst the people to function better so that the organization functions. And I've been doing that for maybe 25 years. And also working to facilitate learning with young people, but inside organizations. So that's my kind of Lockic background that I brought to Bubba. And then since coming to Bubba, was asked to help coordinate the youth International Youth Forum, which brought me here every Christmas with the two little girls. So they grew up in the Yagya. And then when global functioning happened, I think it's about 6-7 years ago now, Janti Ben asked if I would be part of the team, and there's really just three of us on the team, Sister Gopi, myself, and Sister Margaret from Australia, and was asked to visit Baba's family in different countries and facilitate the co-creation of harmony. I think initially it was called reconciliation, and that felt maybe not negative, but it felt like what we were actively wanting to do was co-create harmony. And so that's what we've titled that group. So I travel now quite a bit doing this and also doing facilitating youth programs. So I just returned from Oman in the Middle East, where we did a program for Arab Muslim youth, 80 of them, learning to meditate, learning to be soul conscious, and using different words, but bringing them into the awareness of self and God, connection to God. Does that give you enough of a story? Yes, good. Okay, so that's Sister Judy. Daddy calls us her Tree Murti Judies, the one in New York, the one in Halifax, that's me, and the one in Calgary who does the beautiful graphic design. So there's three in North America. So the topic for today was the spirit of giving. And so I'm very, very grateful to my beloved, actually, for giving me this gift of being able to turn this topic from Amritvela onwards. And in part because it's the end of 6 weeks traveling to different countries, and I go back to Halifax tomorrow, so it feels like it's a nice gift wrapping for 6 weeks of experiences. And many of those experiences, stretching the capacity of this soul. So I appreciate giving. Today is Christmas, and I know in the Christian tradition, even though technically this isn't the date, but this day represents the day that God gave his only begotten Son to the world as a gift. And his dying on the cross was a way to remove all of our sins. So that's what today represents for a billion or so Christians around the world. And I've always had trouble with the suffering, dying on the cross part, and the only begotten Son part. But as I was churning it this morning, I realized someone came up to me at Amritvela and said, "Oh, that's a perfect topic for you because you're such a gift." And I thought, "Oh, well, that was nice." And I thought, "But we're all gifts." And then I remembered today being the day God gave the gift of his Son to the world, and I thought, maybe that's what Christmas really represents, is that Baba has given each of us as a gift to the world. And we do have to die alive. So we are the sons that have been given to the world. And this day just marks, the symbol of that. But so each of us is a gift, and here we are, jewels scattered in all four corners of the earth as Baba's gift to the world. So that was one thing that came to mind for me. The other thing that came to mind was we say give a class, and there's nothing that scares me more than giving a class. So I've really never given a class because I don't want to give a class because it scares me. And I thought, oh, I get to give a class, and I've spent my whole adult life facilitating learning so that I would never have to give a class. And so here I am today, and I thought, but you know, the reason I love to facilitate is I actually love to churn knowledge to the essence, so that the essence, one simple little point, I can create an experience that might last for 20 minutes or an hour or multiple experiences, and facilitate a process of experiences so that within that Bubba can give a gift of learning or realization or insight to the soul. So I've always been, I guess I've always understood that it's Bubba who'll give the gift, and it'll be through the process or through the experience. So that was the other thing that immediately came to mind for me when the topic was given to me. And the third thing was, a brother came up to me, and I asked him, I said, so what comes to mind for you when you think of spirit of giving? And he said, well, it's just natural. And I said, yeah. I said, so could you talk for an hour on that? And he said, no. I said, well, I can't either. He said, yes, you can. Okay, so we're going to talk for an hour about something that's actually very natural to us, giving. So that got me churning about why would we have to have a class about giving when it is our very natural state. It is inherent in us. It is what we are made of. We are givers. It's a natural process for us to give. In fact, we're happiest when we're giving. Would you say that's true for you? Happy when we're giving? Yeah? So it's very natural. So here we are in this school, Bubba school, where we are being trained to give. And yet it's our natural state. So why the training? And then I thought, well, you know, Bubba, he's pretty clever. Actually, I feel like what we're being trained to do here in this school is Bubba's training us to maximize the efficiency and the effectiveness of our giving. Because actually we've been giving for 63 births, because it's natural to give. But we've become tired from giving. And why? Because our giving has become very body conscious. It requires a lot more physical effort, a lot more mental effort, and in the end the results are less. And so that's exhausting. So actually we're in a school not to learn how to give, because it's our natural state to give, but we're in a school to learn how to maximize the efficiency and the effectiveness of our giving. That makes sense to you? So, you know, the arrow meets the target. It's simple, it's easy, it's streamlined. So maximizing our efficiency and effectiveness of the giving that we're naturally doing anyways. And so that got me thinking about today's blessing, which was a gift, that only when you're powerful can you give. And so that makes perfect sense that at the end of the cycle, having lost so much power, spiritual power, we're still giving, but it hasn't got the power in it to reach the target. So we may be giving a lot or feel that we're giving a lot, but we're not quite sure how much is being received. So again, maximizing efficiency and effectiveness. So this school is about making us more powerful so that our natural state of giving will increase, I guess, the yield, the efficiency and effectiveness of the receiving. And then I started to reflect on what's been my experience of giving as a Brahmin. And I guess I've really, in this efficiency effectiveness school of ours, I guess I've experienced that my own understanding and my own experience of giving has changed a lot since I came to Bubba. And so four different experiences of giving came to mind for me, and I'll check these with you and see if if they resonate with you at all. I guess the best experience of giving I've ever had since coming to Baba is the kind when someone comes up to you after an encounter or even many years later and said, oh, you know, what I received in that situation, in that workshop, in that whatever, was this. And I'm not even aware that that's what happened, that something was received, that soul experienced something, and I happen to be present, and somehow in their mind, I'm associated with that giving. So they might think I gave it, or through me, Baba gave it. But I'm being associated with an experience of receiving, and I'm completely unaware of it. So in other words, there was no active givingness on my end. I just happened to be there, and it was the being that was giving. Yeah, that was what I consider as my best experiences of giving. The second type of experience of giving that I've had are when I feel moved to give. So I feel, you know, Baba touches the intellect. Something happens where I divert my course and I go over here and I say something to somebody, or I do something, or I see that the drama I was on seems to shift and now I'm going over here. And I don't know why, but I'm quite aware that Baba's using me intentionally, and I may not know why ultimately, or I might. I might then see later, oh, that's why I went over here. Is it this person or this situation or this encounter occurred? So that was the second type of giving, where I'm aware that Baba's moving me and drama's moving me to a situation where some benefit, both for me and for another or others, will occur. That was the second type of experience I've had of giving. The third type was when I really want to give, where I feel like I have something I just want to give, you know, and it could be a talent, it could be a skill, just a general enthusiasm, but I want to give it. And I look for opportunities, I offer myself up, I volunteer, I do whatever it takes, because the soul just wants to express, wants to give something that it feels it has. I guess this is the area that now we're entering into the areas where, you know, Maya plays her greatest games, I feel. you know, for me, I can just speak about my experience here. I do know, as a punchline in this whole area of giving, that when I really truly have given my skills or talents or even my capacity to Baba, then he uses them in his way, and I really don't even feel that they're mine anymore. But when I still feel that they're mine, I'm offering my talent, my skill, my time, my intellect, then somewhere, if not immediately, then soon thereafter, I will feel tired. I will feel spent. Or I will be criticized. The soul will be weakened. And as Baba said today, the punishment, which is actually the experience of being weakened. My stage is weakened. My connection to Baba is weakened. That's what punishment feels like. And so this is a tricky area. And does this make sense so far? Yeah? So for me personally, I know coming to Baba, the first 5 or 6 years, I had little kids. I was a single mom. Divorce happened very soon after coming to Baba. And I was alone with these little kids and also co-coordinating a center and working full-time. And I live in a part of the world where the nearest center is a 12-hour drive or a 2-hour flight. So it's quite far away. We don't get many visitors. So for about 11 years, this brother and I gave each other drishti for morning class 365 days a year for 11 years. And others would come and go. You know, we had Brahmins, and they became Brahmins and left and moved to other cities. And we had, you know, occasional visits from many others. But consistently for 11 years, we gave each other drishti. 365 days a year and took turns, one on the Getty one day, one the next, back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, the whole time, I think we understood there's something going on here, that we have something, you know, that we're establishing between us or settling between us, and we'll be good when it's done. And suddenly, miraculously, at the 11-year mark, he moved away to another city, and it was finished. And, you know, we're loving, sweet friends, and always were, even though there were easily half of those days, each of us felt that our skin was being peeled off just to be in each other's presence in the room. And what's really, I feel, a real tribute to him and to me, I suppose, is that never once did we ever talk about it. And that very royally we understood that with a lot of love and respect, being in each other's presence was expensive. We had to give a lot, and it built a lot of the power of tolerance and love. And anyways, that's a side story. But so during this time, the first 5 years, I didn't go anywhere. I was just there. This brother, myself, two little kids, work, giving courses, couple nights of the week, etc. And I would feel frustrated that, oh, I've got all this enthusiasm, and I have all this capacity, and I have these skills and talents, and I want to offer them to Baba, and here I sit in this little place with my brother and these two kids, and I'm not going anywhere. And it occurred to me that I was going to sit here until I was good and ready to offer those skills and talents and that enthusiasm and capacity to Baba. And I didn't know what readiness meant. I think that I was being protected from my enthusiasm, that I might offer it randomly all over the place and cause mistakes, and that there would come a moment when I was mature enough that Baba could actually use whatever I had to offer. And until that time, I wouldn't get out to the world. I wouldn't meet other Brahmins. I wouldn't see the larger family. And so it came about that I came every year at Christmas, because the two kids could come with me then, or they could be with their father. And I watched the International Youth Forum, and I watched Brother Lee James work miracles with these young people from a distance, and always very aware of them, very aware of their energy. Not longing, but certainly they were a magnet on the horizon for me. And then one year I came, and I don't know what possessed me, but I went to Sister Gopi in Daddy's cottage, and I said, I'm ready. I said, I'm ready to be a small cog in a big golden machine. Use me however you want. And she said, ah, Lee James has just left. We need somebody to facilitate in the International Youth Forum. You're the one. And so from that moment onwards, you know, I've suddenly been with the family internationally, everywhere. And it was a turning point moment, and I realized the readiness was that I was humble enough to say, I haven't really got anything to offer you, Baba. So whatever these little things are that I have, use them in whatever way. So it was actually me offering myself to Baba that made the difference, not me offering my talents or skills. Make sense? So in the first few years that I offered myself at that level to Baba, I was called upon to facilitate many things in many places. And you know, the future of power, I facilitated the first three of those, the project around India, because the facilitation skills were recognized. And Daddy watched me facilitate one of them, because she wanted to know what I did. And I had little beads, and people were getting mixed into tables and groups, and it was all a bit of a mystery to her. And she sat at the back, and she watched it all. And then when it was done, she called me over, and she said, you have a gift. And she said, it's not a talent, and it's not a skill. This is just given by God. She said, you have the gift of saving a group from their waste. And then I realized that all the tricks and tools and processes and skills and all that stuff that I've been gathering year after year were really just methods for the soul to bring to Baba the speciality or the gift that Baba had given the soul, which was to help a group get past their waste. And so there was a period before meeting Daddy and having this kind of clarity where I felt like I was being Roger Cole said this once. He's a little bag, and he travels from country to country, and then he lands, and then people open him up, and he's supposed to produce tricks and gifts and things like that. And I felt like I was a little gift bag, a bag that got landed in a place, and people would say, okay, show us your tricks, show us your tools. And I felt like a circus performer. I felt cheap inside, that all these tricks and tools that I developed in the Lokic world were now being used in the Brahmin family, and I couldn't quite integrate them. It felt that they were dirty and the family was clean, and I was bringing these dirty things because it's what I had. And it took me about 5 years, and I think what was happening in that time is that I was really surrendering to Baba, so that now when I facilitate, I mean, these tricks and tools just come out, and I have no relationship with them. I have no relationship with facilitating anymore. I don't even think of myself as a facilitator. So something happened in that period where all the tools and skills and talents and methods were purified to the point that they really aren't mine. I don't feel any connection to them. And that was the third kind of giving, is the capacity. And I know that what happened as part of that process was Baba would land me in a situation where suddenly there were 80 people in front of me. I had no idea who these people were. I didn't know what they needed. There had been no churning or conversation about the program. And some senior sister said to me, okay, just do a workshop for an hour. And I would have no clue what to do, and I would have no clue. A million tools and techniques, but no clue. And in that moment, I realized that the only way I was going to trust Baba to do the facilitating through me was if I was in such an extreme situation that I would have to, I could not rely on my capacity. I couldn't rely on whatever I brought. I had to rely on him. And so I remember Sister Gopi and I were with anyone from the German family would know this story, but Sister Gopi and I were with the German family, and there were 80 of them in a room, and we had just arrived, and it was 7:30, the meditation finished, and somebody looked to me and said, so Judy, could you facilitate, we know you're good at this, could you facilitate the family for a half hour? And I looked to Gopi, and she looked at me and said, you know, and just somehow in looking at each other, we had a little conversation about what was needed without having a conversation. And even as I opened my mouth, I didn't know what I was going to suggest. And then suddenly, as I was speaking, the idea came. And sure enough, we did a half-hour workshop. And it was a very beautiful workshop. And they enjoyed it a lot. And I enjoyed it a lot. It was one of those moments where, wasn't that great what Baba came up with, that I couldn't have done that on my own. So this whole third area of giving, around giving your talents, your skills, your capacity to Baba. As long as I feel that they're mine, I will feel drained, I will feel tired, or I will feel the arrogance of what I have given Baba. And when I feel any of those things, I will also experience the consequences. So in the arrogance one, I will be defamed, or I will be criticized. You know, in the feeling that they're my talents, or my time, I will be drained and exhausted. And I feel like this is one of those bhakti sanskars where I just keep giving and giving and giving as the martyr of my time, of my talents, of my, until finally that sanskara breaks because it's unsustainable. It's not efficient and it's not effective to keep giving what I have because it's very limited. That was the third experience of giving I had, was the giving of the talents. The capacity. It's okay. Shall I continue? Yeah? Okay. What's the fourth? Isn't that funny? Now I'm not remembering it. It was the coarsest one. It was the most gross of all four. Huh, and now I can't remember it. There you go. Guess it's not important. What's that? Oh, thank you, Assie. That's exactly the one. Thank you. Yes, the I don't want to give, and I have to give it. Yeah, that was my fourth. Yeah. Oh, I conveniently forgot that one. That's the big one. Yeah, that one. Do you know this one, right? This, I don't want to give, but I have to give. Yeah, these are the karmic settling ones. These are the ones where, you know, the hard situations to give, where I know what's needed is for me to give respect, or for me to give my time, or for me to give my energy, for me to give my attention, for me to give my cooperation, and I don't want to. I'm resisting it, either because of the feelings I have for that other soul, or because of the feelings I have about the situation, or myself, or, and this of course is very personal. It's different for each of us, but we share some common themes. All of us as Brahmins, you know. I haven't been respected, therefore I don't want to give respect. I won't go on. I think you know your story. But this fourth level of giving, where I don't want to give, but I have to. And I guess that's the area where we rely on Baba the most, we rely on Gyan the most. And I guess the thing that I've learned most recently in this whole area is that usually the reason I don't want to give is because I have taken sorrow at some point in the relationship, in my relationship with the other soul, or in my relationship with the situation. And I have to actually clean my heart of that. I have to figure out where I took sorrow, and I have to let it go. I have to give it to Baba, because as long as I'm holding sorrow, I will not want to give. Because my heart shrinks when I've experienced sorrow, and most of us arrive at the end of the cycle with somewhat shrunken hearts, and with a great desire to give, and with a great capacity to give, which is stuck inside a shrunken heart. And so it's because we've taken sorrow that our heart needs to grow. And so Baba grows our heart. So this was the fourth area, and I had a little exercise around the heart that I'd like to do if you're willing. But this whole fourth area, there might be some other things to say about that. Can you relate to this fourth one? So we got the four. We got the first where it happens without my knowing, and isn't that great that somebody associates me with the giving? So those are the giving through being. The being just gives, right? That's our aim, is that the being just gives. And so they go from more soul conscious to less or more body conscious, these four experiences of giving. The second one was where I am moved to give. The drama moves me. Baba touches my intellect. I end up somewhere. Giving occurs, and wasn't that great? Yeah, the third is where I'm actively giving. I want to give. I'm giving my skills, my talents. And that's a little more body conscious. I am identified with my talents, with my time, with my skills, with my capacity. And so more room for Maya to play. And then the fourth one is where I don't want to give. And these are the ones where the greatest effort is required to transform me and my own feelings. And the journey we're on is expanding our capacity to give, because it is the spirit's natural capacity to give. It's just been our capacity has shrunk because our heart has shrunk and because we're tired and we lost power by giving so much in body conscious ways that we're now tired. So we arrive at Baba at the end, and he wakes our heart up, expands our heart beyond our wildest dreams. And then we live in that honeymoon phase for a while. And then we begin to encounter our own karmic story. And then we begin to see the ways in which our heart feels small in a situation where it really should be big. And where our heart has shrunk in relationship and we want it to grow. And this is the fourth area of giving, is expanding my heart. So when I reflected, those are the four areas. And I kind of want to get into what increases the power or what expands the capacity of the heart for the second part of this. I've got a couple of experiences for you to play with. But does that make sense, these first four? And any thoughts or any questions that you might add to that? Expand on the third one, the giving. Right. So when I have talents and capacity or just enthusiasm to give and I want to give, that third level you're asking, to expand more on that one? Right. Sometimes I want to give and others don't want to receive. Yeah, that's sort of the fourth category, isn't it? You get frustrated, yeah. So a little bit like my experience of feeling I'm stuck in this place and I can't give and wanting to give, yeah, until the moment in the drama shifts for you and you're able to give. And that only happens because something in you shifts. Something in you stops desiring to give. Something in you recognizes that it's not an action. Giving actually isn't an action. It's of the being. So I thought when I offered my skills and talents to Baba Mai, when I offered this package to Baba, I thought that that it was the facilitation that would be used. And actually what I discovered in the co-creating harmony work, what I discovered is that it wasn't the skills or talents. What the speciality of this soul was, another speciality I discovered was that actually when I'm in a situation of conflict and the whole group is tense or reactive, or you know what it looks like in the Brahmin family when there isn't harmony, and the, you know, that actually the thing that I'm bringing is that I see unity, and I see it when others can't see it. And it's just so clear to me that I don't even have to try. I just see the unity. And so then the facilitation helps uncover the unity that's there. So my understanding about what I was offering changed also, or what was being given through me. So it's about your relationships to what you have to give, including your enthusiasm, including your desire to give. It kind of has to be purified so that it's not you desiring to give anymore. It's you giving you to Baba so that he can give through you whatever he needs to give, wherever, with whomever, often not in ways of your liking or your choosing. Does that make sense? So the brother's saying that he would like to give a lot, and he has this enthusiasm for giving, and he feels that it's a result of not having given in the past, so it's overcompensating. And so when he gives it, people feel the artificialness in it, you know, that it's a compensating thing, and so they feel it and then they don't really receive. And he's very much aware of this process going on all the time, so that's his question. So I don't know that I can offer you an answer, but a thought that comes to mind is just keep giving. Just keep giving. And work on the genuineness of the giving. Work on the genuineness. Just keep finding the pure intention within it. And it will shift over time. I discovered recently that my positive qualities were on steroids. So enthusiasm was on steroids as a way to compensate for some of my negative qualities that I couldn't really face. And as soon as I faced a lot of them in the last 6 weeks. As soon as I really faced the true ugliness of some of these qualities, all of a sudden I felt my positive qualities settling down. It's like they didn't have to be on steroids to compensate anymore, because I could see it, and I could even accept that it was there, as ugly as it was, even though it shocked me terribly. And now that I know that's what it is, it's like the positive qualities are more genuine. They're finding a more genuine expression. So, I don't know. Yeah, more self-harmonization. And then the giving will be experienced as natural. And it won't be you who's doing it. It'll be Bubba naturally through you. If there's so much disharmony internally, then it's really hard for Bubba's energy to be felt in all that noise. And it's really hard for others to feel it. So as the soul harmonizes, yes, it will be felt. Any other thoughts or observations about these? Have you experienced these four? Anyone got a fifth that I missed? It was just interesting how these four came to me this morning. Okay. So, and I was thinking about what makes the soul. You know, it's only since the double foreigners came to Madhavan that the word heart has been used. Did you know this? Yeah. And it's because we use heart for so much of what we talk about in relation to soul. We always go, you know, my soul. We always touch the heart. They don't do this in India, apparently. So this heart word got used a lot in relation to soul. And so then the Bharatvasis had to figure out, what's heart got to do with soul? And what are these double foreigners talking about with heart, you know? And so they have different versions of what this means. And I'm not an expert on this at all. I've just sort of taken generally that heart is the soul's capacity to give. And almost used interchangeably, soul and heart. Some people say it's the conscience. Other people say it's the sanskaras. I don't think I can speak knowledgeably about this, but my shorthand version is heart and soul are kind of interchangeable, and so I think of the heart as the soul's capacity to give. And I want to be expanding my capacity to give. I want to expand my heart during this spiritual journey. That's why I'm here. And I come with the awareness that it's shrunken. So I thought, how does one become more powerful? How does the soul become more powerful? We know Gyan and Yoga. But there were three things in relation to the heart that I feel have been true for me. And one of them was my heart has to get stronger. I have to have a really strong heart in order to for Baba to use me to give. So if my heart is really fragile, if I cringe at the first sight of criticism, you know, he says to touch me not plant, how it just shrivels. You know, if that's what happens inside of me, you know, he can't really use me so much. He can only use me then when I'm, you know, when I'm feeling good, when the praise is there, or the, you know, the conditions around me are right that I feel good, you know, and then he can use me. So strengthening the heart was one. Oh, the other thing about the talents and specialities, as long as I think they're mine, I'm actually taking. I'm taking approval. I'm taking praise. I'm taking a feeling of usefulness, a feeling of helpfulness, being helpful. As long as I'm still in the consciousness that these are my talents or skills or time or capacity or intellect, then I am actually taking, not giving. So that's the other game Maya plays. So the strong heart is a heart, you have to be pretty hardy in this Brahman life. I'm sure you've noticed this, have you? That your heart has to be pretty strong. And the more tests that you get, the stronger it makes your heart. So that, you know, you could see all kinds of things. You can see extreme injustice. You can see what appears to be dominance, tyrannical oppression, and victims oppressed in misery. You can see that. And somehow your heart doesn't fall apart. You know, your heart is strong enough to use Gyan to say, drama. Don't know what they did to each other last time. But it's playing out in front of me. And I am neutral. Doesn't affect me. I see it and I keep giving. Because my heart didn't shrink when I saw that. Right? So strong heart. We need a strong heart. And this to me is very much about neutrality. This is about being out of polarity, not being trapped in a right, wrong, oppressor, victim. You know, these polarities we've lived within for 63 births, to find the neutral place where my feelings are neutral. And actually, more than neutral, my thoughts are neutral, my opinions are neutral, but my feeling is, you know, big, it's giving, it's positive. So the strong heart was one of them. The other one is a clean heart. And this is around taking sorrow. So my capacity to give is determined by how strong my heart is, how clean my heart is, and the last one is how big my heart is. So strong heart is around how am I using Gyan to face the drama in front of me so that I'm not withering or I'm not crying or I'm not turning into a victim or I'm not turning into the righteous rage of an activist that needs to fight the battle on behalf of the victims, etc. You know, that I go completely beyond these dualisms and polarity. That's the strong heart. Second one is the clean heart. And I think the clean heart, we all have the daily practice of cleaning our heart before bed. This is what Baba means by chart, as far as I know. I know we get, you know, charts of 108 points, and you check yourself, yes, no. And I mean, those have never worked for me, but I love, so I don't do those. But I have done a chart since the beginning of my Brahmin birth, and I love charts. And I remember when Daddy G once, we were in Harmony House Hall, and Daddy G asked everybody, who does a chart? You know, and this, you know, sweet, innocent soul. I mean, I was only 5 years into Gyan. But, you know, who does a chart? Up went my hand, thinking that everybody in the hall would have their hands up. And then she said, okay, no, now stand up, those of you that, I thought, you know, I was really nervous about standing. I stood up, and they said, no, just look around. And then I dared to look around, because I was so self-conscious. And I looked around, and there were four of us standing in the hall. Now, this is only 5 years. I mean, now I'm 16 years, and I can say I have missed nights where I have written, but I've never missed a night of talking to Baba and doing a chart in my mind. But I've certainly in the last year missed half the nights of writing. But before then, I hadn't, because I really enjoyed it. And my method was always just to ask myself three or four good questions. I always did a 24-hour chart, and I clocked off the minutes of remembrance throughout the day. And for about 10 years, it was 45 minutes. You know, and it never went up a minute, and it often went down. And so that was, you know, pretty discouraging that it didn't change. And then suddenly we had a breakthrough, and we were up to more than that, and that stayed plateaued for a long time. But I always do this, and I think it's because it cleans my heart. I don't fudge, I don't justify, even if it's small, I can face it. I feel like that's why Baba wants us to do it. And of course, I'm remembering him while doing this. And I'm remembering the moments of remembrance, so it's beneficial all the way around. So I've always done a 24-hour chart on the minutes of remembrance. But then I usually have three or four questions. And one is, you know, whatever I'm working on, if it's love, you know, when today did I express love? Or when today was I in my self-respect, or whatever I'm working on, whatever my theme is, I ask myself the question, when today was I that? And I remember my day through that quality or through that lens so that I can feel good about my little accomplishments, whatever they are. I always ask myself, when today wasn't I, so that I can face and let go of those moments to Baba. I always ask myself, when did I experience Baba today? Because I know for me, there I think I expect, you know, big bang experiences of Baba, and unless I look for the subtle ways in which he's been there, I might not notice them. So I always ask myself, you know, when did I experience Baba today? I think that's it. Three, sometimes four. But anyway, so this cleaning process we're meant to do every single night. And on the when wasn't I at my best today, or when wasn't I loveful, or whatever question, that's always the time where I take note of when I took sorrow or when I gave sorrow, and I release it to Baba, and that's the cleaning. And I feel like here in Madhuban, it's definitely a time where, you know, we write the full letter of, here's where I've taken sorrow, here's where I've given sorrow, and we give it to Baba, and we just let it finish. When the youth went to meet Nirwarbai, they asked him the question, Baba, how do we clean our hearts? How do we get rid of this sorrow that we've carried? And he said, well, you just write a letter to Baba and let it go. And they went, that's it. It's that easy. You know, they wanted to get complicated with it. He said, yeah, and then you write it every day for 7 days. You give it to Baba, and then at the end of 7 days, it'll be gone. And I don't know about you, but I'm still holding things for longer than 7 days, for sure. But the method is the same. Just keep giving it, so the cleaning of the heart. And any time I am not responding with love, I know it's because I've taken sorrow and I haven't let it go. So the cleaning of the heart is the second one. And I heard a wonderful story about Didi Nirmala last night, where, and I don't know many who've seen Didi Nirmala cry. I mean, I've seen her laugh and almost fall to the ground laughing. But I've never actually seen her cry, and maybe some from Australia or the Asia Pacific region have. But the story was, there was one time where Didi Nirmala was so vulnerable that she was crying in front of Baba. And Daddy G looked at her and said, "Are you crying?" Because it was so unusual for this to occur. And Baba put out his hand and he took her finger and he held her finger like this and he gave her drishti. And it must have been just a few seconds, but it probably felt like a long time. He held her finger, gave her drishti, and then he said, "Finished?" And she went, "Finished." And that was it. And she told the story about how it was after that moment that she stopped taking sorrow. That she understood people would like her, they wouldn't like her. They would be angry at her, they would criticize her. They would attack her, they would do all the things they did. But she was not to take sorrow from that. She was to just create her own feelings, whatever feelings she wanted to carry in the situation. And I thought, wow, you know, 1 minute, 1 second of drishti. Is it finished? Yes, finished. So that's our aim. And if we have to write a letter every night for 7 years, fine. Before it finishes, fine. Each of us has our own story. But in that, that's actually the method and that's the magic. Is that Baba just finishes it and cleans our heart when we give it to him. And then the third, and this is where I thought maybe you could join me if you had a pen and a paper. You could join me on the third way that Baba increases the power of the soul, increases our capacity to give. Because power and giving were connected in today's Murli. I have to be powerful to give. And powerful means I've got a strong heart. I have a clean heart. And the other is, I have a big heart. So do you have a piece of paper and a pen? And are you willing to join me on this? This is a little self-discovery exercise for our last 5 minutes. And you can take this with you. And maybe to Baba for tonight if you'd like. So this is a capacity. And if you haven't got a piece of paper, I guess you can imagine it. But and I don't hear with me, so I can't really show you. But on your paper, if you could have a clean piece of paper and a pen, I'd ask you to draw three hearts. One little heart inside a bigger heart inside a bigger heart. So you've got three hearts inside each other. Okay? The biggest, the next little one, and a little one at the middle. Yeah? Got it? Okay. So the heart is expanding three sizes. We have a great story in North America. Nobody else seems to know this story. The Grinch who stole Christmas. Anyone put up a hand who knows this story? The Grinch who stole Christmas. Yeah, one. Three people. One of the best stories in the world. It's a Christmas story of an ugly green fellow, green for jealousy and green for miserliness, who steals Christmas from Whoville, this place where people live. And he goes and steals their Christmas tree, all the Christmas decorations. He steals their roast beast, the, you know, turkey or whatever they're supposed to eat. He steals the Christmas carols, the stockings. He even steals the crumb that the mouse was going to eat under the tree. He steals everything and he goes away. And the next morning, the little people of Whoville wake up and they join hands around their absent Christmas tree and they sing Christmas carols together. And he hears the sound of this on the mountain and he can't understand, why are they still singing? I stole everything. And in that moment, he realized that Christmas was actually the spirit of giving. It wasn't the presents, the turkey, the tree, etc. And in that moment, his little tiny Grinch-like heart expanded three sizes. And they show an x-ray of his heart growing three sizes. So most kids in North America grow up with this story of your heart expanding three sizes. So that's why this exercise of a little heart, a bigger heart, and a bigger heart. And inside, I would like you for just 2 minutes, if you can, before we end, think about two moments, two situations or experiences in your life so far, and they can be from the start of your Brahman life, if you would like, or just in your whole life, up to you, when your heart expanded one size. So when your heart grew one size, think of a situation, a time period, or even a moment, when your heart expanded one size. So it grew its capacity to give. Okay? And you will write that down between the little and the next big heart. That's one moment. And between the middle heart and the next big and the biggest heart, that's your second moment. So just take a moment if you can and reflect on two moments in your life when your heart, your capacity to give, your capacity to love has grown two sizes. One size and then another size. And as you're reflecting, if you can consider what were the conditions that made it possible for your heart to grow? What was it that worked in that moment to grow your heart? Think about the factors, the elements of that experience that helped your heart grow. Song called Sing, Sing, Sing. On the playlist, Denise Hogan, Sing. Yeah, Sing. You have it? In a minute, if you can play that. Thank you. Are you seeing? Are you seeing moments where your heart's grown? Yeah? And are you aware of the conditions? What it was that helped your heart grow? Sometimes these are tough moments. Other times they're beautiful moments. Yeah? Okay. And if you could, just to finish then, draw one more really big heart, and if you have no room on your paper, imagine it. What would it take at this moment for your heart to grow even one size bigger? I'd like you to take a minute just to think about that. For your heart to grow the next size, bigger, what would it take? So what would you have to let go of, clean? What would you have to do? What would you have to absorb, imbibe, take from Baba? And you know.